Some of my favorite stories I gathered from a gentleman who I only know as Dick. He was a chauffeur at Warner Brothers for over 30 years. Dick was English by birth and spoke with a very, very British accent. He was a very tall, dignified man. I met him at the Book Castle in Burbank. The Book Castle is a collector's paradise. And for a while in my life, I was collecting quite a bit showbiz memorabilia, movie posters, books, autographs, and I had occasion to meet Dick many times. I heard that he was a fountain of information on Warner Brothers stars, and I tried to talk to him several times, but it took a while for him to warm up to me. But when he did, I started to get the stories. Now, Dick was the first guy to meet Errol Flynn when he came to America. He told me I picked him up off the boat. He said, I'll never forget it. I was there to pick up a new actor. And he said, I knew him the minute I saw him. He said he was a tall, good-looking man, and I thought, this must be the guy. He said, and indeed it was. I introduced myself as the chauffeur from Warner Brothers. He said he got in the back of the car, and I'm driving him to a hotel. And Flynn starts to chat a little bit, and then he says, hey, can I ask you something, fella? Where can a guy get a poke around here? Well, for those of you who may not understand what that means, Mr. Flynn was requesting a woman of the evening. First day out of the box, this guy's looking for women. And Dick said he liked Errol Flynn tremendously. He said he knew Errol for about 15 years, and Errol never drew a sober breath after 5 o'clock. He said after 5 o'clock, he was in the bag. It's all finished. And he said, one time I had to take him to some friend's house. It was like a Saturday afternoon. And he said, by the time we got in the car, it was maybe about 3:30 or 4. Errol was so drunk. And he said, Errol was depressed. And he was talking about how his life was going so wrong and there was no meaning in his life. And he said, pull the car over. Pull the car over. He said, I pull the car over. And Errol gets out of the car. And I thought, what's going on? Has he lost his mind? He says, so I get out of the car and he walks into a pet store. So I follow him in the pet store and he says, you know what I need, Dick? I need a pet. That's what I need, something to love. I need an animal. I want a pet. And he says, so Errol goes and buys this pet monkey. He said, now this was one of these black monkeys that has the white stripes along its fur, along its arms and on its head. And he said, he gets this monkey and they put it in a cage and he pays for the thing. And he says, it's almost sunset now and we're driving down Ventura Boulevard to his home on Mulholland Drive. And he said, Flynn is talking about this monkey. This is what he needs in his life, blah, blah, blah. And he says, by the time we get to the house, he goes, Dick, why did I buy this monkey? I don't know what I'm going to do with this monkey. Why did you let me buy this monkey? He said, well, Errol, I'll tell you what I'll do. Why don't you just keep it here tonight? And after I drop you off at the studio in the morning, I will take the monkey back with your apologies and take care of the whole situation for you. And he said, thanks, Dick. I appreciate that. However, Errol said, we can't leave him in the cage all night. That would be terrible. It's so tiny. He said, so what we decided to do was take his downstairs bathroom, and we put newspapers all over the bathroom, and we let the monkey out of the cage so he could run around the bathroom and lock the door. And he said, the next morning I show up at Errol's house, and he said, I knew something was going on, because Errol was at the door with a big smile on his face, and he said, that wasn't Errol. Usually, he said, I'd honk the horn, Errol would come out, get in the back of the car, reading a script. That was Errol. He said, but this morning he had a cup of coffee and a big smile. The smile was too big. He said, Dick, you've got to come in and see this. He said, what happened to the monkey? Did it escape? He said, oh, no, no, it didn't escape. He said, but Dick, let me tell you something. You're not taking this monkey back. This is my kind of pet. He said, I want to show you. He takes me to the bathroom. We had locked the monkey and he opens the door. And what the monkey had done is taken its crap and wiped it all over the walls. It urinated on the walls. The paper was in pristine condition. Nothing had been touched on the paper. But the monkey had deliberately ruined his walls. Indeed, he said, Flynn loved this monkey, and its name was Chico. Now, if anybody wants to research Flynn, you will know that he talks about his pet Chico quite a bit. And Dick said this monkey was a terror. Flynn taught it to do horrible things. If he didn't like a woman, he had taught the monkey to grab the woman's breast. If he didn't like a man, he would teach the monkey to grab the man's genitals. He said, so at some of Errol's party where I would serve as a bartender, you'd see the monkey meet two or three guys and then grab a gentleman by the genitals. And of course, he'd scream and vice versa with a woman. And he said, I don't know why Errol did this. He put a lot of time into training this monkey. As Errol often had dinner outside at a long table in his backyard pavilion. And what he eventually taught Chico to do was, there was a nice long branch from the tree that came down over the table over a particular seat. Now, if Errol really disliked someone, at dinner, he would have them in this seat. And he said the devotion between Flynn and this monkey was incredible, and that this monkey would react to his cues. For Flynn, give him a cue, he'd grab the woman's breast, he'd grab the men by the genitalia. He said, on cue, at dinner, you'd be through your appetizer, you'd be getting into your main course, Errol would give the cue, the monkey would go up the tree, come along the branch, and urinate on the person sitting in that particular chair. And he said, I see this happen 20 or 30 times. And I would tell Errol, Errol, you've got to stop doing this. This is awful. And he said, best thing I ever came up with, mate. The source of this story was the director, Richard Wilson, who I met at a Writers Guild party in Beverly Hills. Richard Wilson and his wife, Elizabeth, directed and wrote a number of films. And the Errol Flynn film that he directed was The Big Boodle, 1957. So I'm at this party, and this is the way I actually collect stories. I just meet people, and I have some knowledge, and I start asking them questions. So I meet this gentleman, and his name is Richard Wilson. I said, are you the Richard Wilson that directed The Big Boodle with Errol Flynn? And he said, yes, yes, I am. I said, well, what was Flynn like to work with? He said, I'll tell you what Flynn was like to work with. He was very professional. He drank quite a bit. He would be good for the first 4 hours in the morning, and then he was no good after 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, he was very sluggish. He said, however, I'll tell you this. We were in a huge old stone hotel in Havana. The walls were so thick. And he said, I'll tell you something. That man's bedroom was above mine. Those bedroom springs, I would never hear them stop. Me and my wife could get no sleep at all. That man had women in there all the time. And those springs, you could hear them right through these big stone walls. Well, we sort of trailed off on the stories. I mentioned to him that I knew another film he did. I said, did you do the film Raw Wind in Eden? With Jeff Chandler and Esther Williams. Aren't you that Richard Wilson? He said, yes, yes, I am. And he got so excited because I knew this film, Raw Wind in Eden. He called his wife, Elizabeth, Elizabeth, come here. He knows Raw Wind in Eden. Now, after a couple of cocktails, he got very chummy and he told me the Errol Flynn story. Now, Richard Wilson described for me a place that some of the decadent crowd would go in Havana, where you would go into a very small cabaret. And midgets, male and female, would perform sexual acts on stage. Now, Richard Wilson said he was talking to Errol Flynn about this, and Flynn said that he had been there a long time ago. He said, but he would definitely like to see it again. So he said, one evening, Flynn, my wife, myself, a couple guys from the movie we were doing, and Flynn's current girlfriend went out to see this very underground performance. And he said, as we came into the cabaret, he said it was very small. Flynn was immediately recognized and a murmur went through the audience. And a maitre d' came out and led Errol to what would be called the place of honor. And he said Flynn was shown to a table right on the side of the stage. And he waved to everybody and everybody applauded. And he said everybody settled down, got their drinks, and the show started. And he said, sure enough, these midgets came out and started performing all kinds of sexual acts. Men and women, men and men, women and women. And he said, the audience just laughed uproariously at all this. There was a lot of jokes in this, but there was actual sex going on. And he said, Flynn sat there with his drink and was quite taken with it. And he said, there came a moment in the show where everyone stopped and a light went on Errol. And one of the midgets came out and said, we wish to acknowledge our very special guest, Senor Errol Flynn. And he said, Errol stood up and took a little bow, and a big laugh started going through the crowd. And he said, I started laughing too, because Errol didn't see it, but there was like a shelf-like thing behind him, and there was a midget standing there who was urinating on Flynn. Shades of Chico. It looks like payback time. However, Flynn wasn't quite as nice as Chico was, because he said Flynn glanced around and reached up and took the midget by his penis and just pulled him forward, throwing him into the audience. And he said, it happened so fast, he said, all hell broke loose. Midgets ran out and started beating up Flynn. Flynn started beating up midgets. There was big bouncers that came in. And he said, Flynn could box. He said, all of a sudden, Flynn is fighting. He said, he was older. He was not in shape, but he's just swinging. And he said, I'm being hit. The guy's from the studio. And he said, all I know is we started moving to the door en masse with little midgets throwing things at us, hitting us and biting us, and all of us hauling out to the car and driving away. And he said, Flynn's laughing. Flynn thought it was funny. Everything except the stain on his suit.